on board the Western Flyer. The train was heading south on the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad. It was a little past 4 a.m, and from Spruce Mountain, the train was a symphony of sight and sound. Red and orange sparks glittered from within the billowing plume of smoke that was darker than the moonlit sky. Clouds of steam escaped from the drive cylinders, then drifted back in iridescent tendrils to dissipate before they reached the rear of the engine. The passenger cars were marked by a long line of incandescent windows glowing like a string of diamonds. There were 93 passengers on the train, counting Matt Jensen. Matt was more than just a passenger because he had been hired by the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad to act as a railroad detective. It wasn't a permanent job, but the DNRG had been robbed too many times lately, and because Matt had worked with them before, they offered him a good fee to make one trip for them. They didn't choose the trip arbitrarily. They had good information that the train would be robbed somewhere between Denver and Colorado Springs. Matt accepted the assignment, but under the condition that no one on the train except the conductor would know about him. He had boarded the train in Denver as a passenger, taking a seat not on the Pullman car, but in one of the day cars, doing so to keep his official position secret. He had turned down the gimbal lantern that was nearest his seat, which allowed him to look through the window without seeing only his own reflection. At the moment, he was looking at the moon, reflecting from the rocks and trees.
Why did we stop in such a fashion?
I intend to write a letter to the railroad about this. Why I was thrown out of my seat with such force that I could have broken my neck.
Because Matt could see through his window, he saw some men outside, and it gave him a very good idea of what was going on. He pulled his pistol and held it close beside him, waiting to see what would happen next. He didn't have to wait but a short time before someone burst into the car from the front door. The train robber was wearing a bandana tied across the bottom half of his face, and he was holding a pistol, which he pointed toward the passengers.
Oh, good heavens!
Now see here!
Although the passengers were shocked and surprised at this totally unexpected interruption of their trip, Matt was not. He had been told to expect a train robbery between Denver and Colorado Springs, and it was now obvious that the intelligence had been correct.
Everybody stay seated!
The train robber was holding a sack in his left hand, and he handed it to the passenger in the front seat.
Now, you are church-going folks. I know you understand what it means to pass the plate. Just pretend that this sack is the plate that gets passed around in church. Only don't hold back on your donations like you do with the preacher. Gents, I want you to drop your wallets into the sack. Ladies, if you got any jewelry, why, that would be appreciated too.
Look here, what gives you the right to...
The train robber turned his gun toward him.
This gives me the right.
Another gunman came on to join the first.
How's everything going?
Nothing I can't handle. Is everything under control out there?
Yeah, we got the engineer covered and we're disconnecting the rest of the train from behind the express car.
How do I know when you're pulling the express car away? I mean, what if you fellas leave and I don't know you're gone? I'll be stuck back here.
We'll blow the whistle before we go.
There's no need for you to be worrying about that. You two won't be going anywhere.
What? Who said that?
I did. Both of you, drop your guns.
The hell we will!
The first gunman fired and the bullet smashed through the window beside Matt's seat. Both of the bandits went down. As the car filled with the gun smoke of the three discharges, Matt scooted out through the back door and jumped from the steps down to the ground, then fell and rolled out into the darkness.
Whoa! Ed, what's going on in there? What was the shooting about?
I'm afraid Walt and Ed won't be going with you.
Matt was concealed by the darkness, but in the dim light that spilled through the car windows, he could see the gunman who was yelling at the others.
Drop your gun and put your hands up. I got you covered.
I'll be damned if I will.
Train robber realized he was in a patch of light, so he moved into the shadow to fire at the voice from the darkness. He may have thought he would be shielded by moving out of the light, but the 2-foot-wide muzzle flash of his pistol gave Matt an ideal target. Matt stood up then and moved toward the side of the train to try and get a bead on the one who had been separating the express car from the rest of the train. One of the passengers poked his head out to see what was going on.
You there!
Get back inside!
The passenger jerked his head back in quickly. The train robber peered cautiously around the corner trying to see his adversary.
Mister, you're the only one left alive. And if you don't drop your gun and come out here with your hands up right now, you'll be as dead as your partner.
Who the hell are you?
The name's Jensen. Matt Jensen.
Matt Jensen?
That's my name.
Aw, hell.
A moment later, his gun on the ground, the would-be train robber emerged from between the cars with his hands in the air.
We can go on ahead, Mr. Engineer. It's all over now.
Yeah, but the track ain't clear. Look ahead and you'll see what it is made me stop so fast.
Matt saw that a tree had been felled across the track.
Gonna have to get that cleared away before we can go on.
By now, the conductor, hearing the conversation and realizing that the danger had passed, came down to see what was going on.
I'll get some volunteers to clear the track.
You think you can get enough people to volunteer?
I'll offer them a refund on their train tickets.
Matt looked at the man he had captured.
What's your name?
Art Dawkins.
Dawkins, you and I will ride in the baggage car with your 3 friends.
Are they dead?
I expect they are.